If you were to take one day this week and go over to Bed Bath & Beyond, I'm sure you could ask any customer walking down the aisle, "What season is this?" And they would probably look at you like you had two heads, and they would say, "It's the Christmas season." Some are even calling it now the Christmas shopping season. I mean, we know what it's all about, right? It's been going on for a couple of weeks already. Everywhere we go, they're playing the songs. It's a holly jolly Christmas, silver bells, you know, all the classics playing in the background. People are baking cookies and treats are being delivered to offices, all those sorts of things. People are planning Christmas parties and, you know, watching the football game, my favorite Christmas commercial comes on. You know, the one where the person walks out of their front door and lo and behold, there is a Lexus with a big red bow on it. It's so trite. That happens to everybody. Who does that? I'm just wondering. But it is the Christmas shopping season out there, but not in here. We have just begun a new Christian year. Happy New Year, everyone. This is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And Advent is a season with a very different purpose and tone to this Christmas season that's going on all around us. We come into this place on Sunday morning and we don't sing Holly Jolly. We sing tunes in a minor key, songs about longing and waiting. And we're not wearing red and green, we're wearing purple, a color of repentance. We pray prayers of confession. And here we come this morning, and we open the bulletin, and there is a sermon title, "The Prophet's Lament." Is there room in the season of Advent for lament? Is this really a time of year when we want to hear the prophet's lament? Yes. I want to say this morning, this is absolutely the right time and place for lament. And before we explore why that is during the season of Advent, I want to look specifically at this prophet's lament. What is going on in his world, in his life, that causes him to cry out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." The book of Isaiah, we believe, spans many decades, if not centuries, of Israel's history. The first 39 books, chapters of Isaiah seem to take place while Israel is still in the Promised Land. They're enjoying the Promised Land, but they are not being faithful to God. And so the prophet is speaking these words of judgment and warning to Israel in these first 39 chapters. Judgment is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. You have worshiped other gods. You have forgotten the poor and the widow and the orphan. The day of judgment is coming. And sure enough, at some point after chapter 39, judgment comes in the form of the Babylonian army. And they go into the land of Israel and desecrate it. They tear down the temple, and they take many of the Israelites and kidnap them and take them into exile in the land of Babylon. And so after chapter 39, what the prophet begins to speak are words of hope and promise that God's punishment is not forever, that there will come a day when they will be restored. Wait for the Lord. Wait in that hope. Now, by the time we get to chapter 64, where we are today, some scholars think that some of those exiles are beginning to return to the land, but what they have returned to is a land in rubble. And they have a hard time seeing where God is and where God has been. And so the prophet cries out in the voice of the people, "You have hidden your face from us, O God. Where are you? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down and fix this. Save us. Restore us to where we were before. Take our pain away." It is a prayer of lament before God, of honest lament, saying to God, "You seem hidden from us and we don't know where you are." Have any of you ever been in a season of lament? Do the cries of the prophet ring true for you, either in this season or at some season of your life? I think there are some of us here this morning who are in a season of lament. We're preparing to gather around the Christmas tree, knowing that there's a chair that was full last year, but will be empty this year. We're in a season of grief, having lost someone that we love. Some of us are in a season of lament because we have recently received a diagnosis that we were not expecting, and we're facing a long, difficult journey of healing. Some of us are looking at this Christmas shopping going on, and we look at our own bank accounts, and we're not sure we can even pay the bills. And we want to cry out to God, help us, save us, where are you? Others of us look around at the world and all the things going on in our culture and the divisiveness and the anger that seems to be surrounding us. And some of us are feeling that worry and anxiety for our most vulnerable citizens, the poor and the marginalized. How are they going to make it through these times? Others of us may feel like we don't really have a reason. Things seem to be going well, but for whatever reason, we are just struggling with depression as the days grow shorter and the nights grow longer, and we cannot pull ourselves out of it. The prophet's lament rings true for many of us, and he speaks for many of us, even now in this season. But that's exactly why we need to hear these words of lament on this first Sunday of Advent, because they do for us what we must do to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. The first thing we must do is come into this holy place and announce to God and to ourselves that all is not right. Everything is not right with us, O God. We are not as we should be. I am not as I should be. Our world is not as it should be. O God, tear open the heavens and come down and save us. The first thing we must do is to name out loud that we need a Savior. And we cannot save ourselves. And so we name it together. And we wait, and we hope for that Savior who is coming. And even in the words of this prophet, there is hope, and there is good news. He has poured out his lament in prayer to God, and then he says at the beginning of verse 8, yet. This powerful three-letter word that turns it all. Yet, you are our Father. You are our God. You are the potter, and we are the clay. We belong to you. And he asserts his faith in the God who is. And just a few verses later in chapter 65, God speaks and says, I have been here all along. I have been saying to you, here I am, here I am. And then a few verses later, God says, and I am about to do a new thing. Now, as Christians, we believe that that new thing was made manifest in Jesus Christ. Yes, the Israelites had cried out for God to shake the mountains and come and tear open the heavens. God's answer to that was a peasant child, vulnerable and weak, born to poor parents and missed by most of the world. And so as we cry out with the prophet, help us, save us, O God, we need to recognize that our salvation is not going to come from the thrones of the powerful, from the halls of Congress. Our salvation is not going to come from that beautiful Lexus with a bow on it sitting in our driveway. Our salvation will not come when we gather with our family and get along without conflict. No, our salvation comes through the entrance of vulnerable love into our world and into our lives. hope. Our Savior has come. Our Savior is coming. Our Savior will come. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive this gift.